It's Thursday, August 11th, and you're watching the Geek News Central podcast, show number 695. Geek News Central is sponsored by GoDaddy, the world's largest domain register and web hosting provider, and by GoToMeeting. Now with HD Faces, the world's best web conferencing solution, get your free trial at GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Geek News Central is also sponsored in part by Carbonite. Get a 15-free-day trial using promo code TPN and 2 months free with purchase. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out our great content. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. I tell you what, got a lot to share with you tonight. We got a lot to go through. We're going to move into the content here rather quickly tonight. And I want to thank all of you for your positive feedback. We'll talk about essentially my conflicted issues in the show length. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime subscribers, listeners, and viewers of the show. Thank you for being part of the family, and thank you for staying subscribed. And we are now, of course, on show 695. Really, after this episode, just a few short episodes away from show number 700 and well on our way to 1,000. Of course, we want to welcome listeners and viewers from around the world. Thanks for tuning in and watching the show. Hey, if you're new to the show, make sure to get over to geeknesscentral.com and sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover during the show. And if you look right at the top of the webpage, you're going to see right below the search button is the newsletter link. And, are they going to answer that? The newsletter link right below the search bar. And that basically will get you, if you sign up for that, you'll get all of the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Contains all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight with all the links and data. So that's the way you can stay connected. You know what's been going on here about this time at night over the last week, and actually since my wife has been back, all the relatives are calling in. How's your father doing? What's going on? What's happening in Japan? So it's like boom, boom, boom. I think last night it was like 10 in a row over the course of an hour. So we'll see if it ends up being that way here. But obviously, I should probably move that phone out of this room. But it is what it is. You know, getting back to subscribing to the show, all you got to do is, again, go to the website. There's a big orange box in the second column of the website that has the RSS feed, has the iTunes logo, has a Zune logo as well. Subscribe to one or all of our shows. Of course, we've got audio and video of this show along with a mobile feed as well. You'll find the mobile feed for this show in the actual show notes itself. You want to sign up for our morning tech show. Of course, we're going to have a Saturday morning tech show this coming Saturday. We'll hope that you'll join us at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And of course, a new edition of The Gadget Professor was just released today. And of course, every Monday is Robot Underpants. And there will be a new episode of The Chrome Show coming out on Sunday as well. So lots of content for you to subscribe to, over 6 hours of content here every week at Geek News Central, at least every week that I'm home. So, but we'll be back on track for Saturday Morning Tech this coming weekend. Of course, we're streaming live right now at live.geeknewscentral.com. If you're watching us on Ustream, come over and watch the better video at live.geeknewscentral.com. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, all you got to do is Twitter me at Geek News. At Geek News is my Twitter account. And of course, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. For those of you that are overseas, +1 619 342 7365. And I think we may have had one of our hearing impaired or some, basically I got a message on the voicemail system. It was like an automated read back through a computer, but yet I don't know if it was a screen reader or exactly what it was, because I did not get all of it. It was just bits and pieces that came through. So if you try to leave a message on the hotline, please email me and let me know, because I know that we've got some folks that are vision impaired that watch the show or listen to the show, excuse me. And then some of the hearing impaired folks are actually, some of you have basically cochlear implants and so forth. So I know we got a number of folks that listen that way as well. And it's, you know, some, of course, if the folks aren't completely deaf, they can't listen to the show, but they can watch the show and read lips. But, you know, we've got a number of folks that watch the show that have basically these types of handicaps and try to reach out to me from time to time. So please feel free to reach out to me in whichever way you can. And I know we've even gotten calls before where the person actually is typing on a typewriter and it's read through an operator. So we're willing to take calls that way as well too. But emails is always the best if you can do that. I want to remind you that this show is part of the Tech Podcast Network over at techpodcast.com. Feel free to check out all the family safe shows over there. Hey, let's go ahead and talk about GoDaddy here for just a second. I got a new deal for you. And I actually put a post up on the website. And this is a pretty serious deal. This is a great offer here right at the beginning of the month. They actually, my one of the stand-ins at GoDaddy was able to put this deal together. And what it is we've got a deal where you can make money with GoDaddy. And how you do that is, if you've been thinking about starting your own business or starting in something where you can make some money online, consider becoming a GoDaddy domain reseller. Now, I'm not a reseller myself, because it'd be a little bit of a conflict promoting domains and promoting hosting accounts and everything else, and then having my own reseller account on the side. But what I have seen is, and I've seen a couple of friends of mine that have got reseller accounts, and they've been able to build up an ongoing month-to-month income based upon having a reseller account for a couple of years. So if you'd like to save 30% on the GoDaddy reseller account, all you have to do is pick up your plan and use my promo code. Now, the link I provided in the website will take you right over to the domain reseller webpage. And you'll be able to go right on here, and you'll see there's a special limited time offer, 30% off any new reseller plan. They start at $8.99 a month all the way up to $16.99 a month. And really look at the difference on these plans, because what they really give you is different pricing levels. So, you know, pick your poison correctly when it comes to the reseller program. But domains, hosting accounts, whatever it may be, definitely get over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll find all my promo codes. All my promo codes are there for you to use, and we've got a lot of codes available for you. Geek5 will save you 15%. Todd20 will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. Todd, ComSale, ComSale 2, Geek Central, Aloha, Geek SSL 12. We'll get you $12.99 SSL certificates. And I know one person that saved about $600 alone on SSL certificates here last month. So use that Geek SSL 12 code from GoDaddy. Thanks, GoDaddy, for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Let's talk just a little bit. Again, Gadget Professor, new show on the street. And I want you to hope you get subscribed to that. Let's talk just for a second about the decision on the last show to stop going, crunching everything in and trying to rush at the end to get done in an hour and 10 minutes. Really, the number of emails that came in really blew me away. You responded in force, and it ran about, and this is what really surprised me, it ran about 25 to 1, 25 saying, do whatever you want to do, and the one person saying, don't go long, stay, keep it shorter. You're too long already. So, you know, and I had decided before the emails ever come in that it was going to be what it was going to be. And we were just going to have fun with the show and continue to move forward and not be rushed. And when I'm rushed, I make mistakes, and it's better not to do that. So anyway, we're going to do what we can do, and it is what it is. I want to talk just for a second here about an hacked server. I had a whole line of things I had to do this week. I was reviewing a very big proposal that we're sending to a very big company in preparation for CES. So I'm getting this proposal ready. Been working on the PowerPoint presentation, got it to close, been working with our sales manager. And lo and behold, my phone rings at about, well, actually, I noticed one of my secondary servers that I don't do a lot of stuff on. I host some media on there from time to time. I put stuff up from the Tech Podcast Roundtable. I put stuff up, just odds and ends of things, but it's a dedicated box. It's been, we've been running it for about 6 years, and it's just, you know, kind of a box that's there that does its thing. And it doesn't do a lot of functions, but kind of serve media. And the server wasn't available. So I went into the control panel and tried to reboot it. It wouldn't reboot. I had to send in for a hard reset. And about an hour later, my phone rings, and I could tell it was coming from the good folks at GoDaddy. And the guy on the other end says, this is Network Security Center at GoDaddy. We got some bad news. Well, the server that I have neglected and not paid attention to, which I probably should have paid attention to, it was owned. I mean, it was like totally owned. It was, oh man, someone was using an IRC server on it. They'd put a rootkit on it. They had installed a backdoor SSL login, so that even if I found some rogue stuff and got rid of it, they were still going to be able to get in to see the machine. They had key loggers on. I mean, it was like, it was full to the hilt. Now, luckily, that machine really, I just go in there and upload media. An FTP into it. I may have to reboot it once every 6 months. So that really was just kind of hanging out there. But they had fun with it for a little while. And so I said, okay. I said, I'll download the media off it. It's over on an FTP account already, but I want to make sure that I've got everything downloaded. And we reprovisioned it. And I've been spending a couple of days kind of reorganizing. And they were nice about it. They gave me time to get whatever I needed to get off. And that's one thing I love about GoDaddy, is even though there was a pretty big issue there, they, you know, they worked to clean it up the best they could. But it still needed to be completely reformatted and everything else. But the main thing about this was, is just, I just had a own little personal lesson here. You know, you got a server out on the internet, you got to pay attention to it and put the patches in just like you do a Windows machine, because they had it. They did whatever they wanted with that machine for a couple of weeks. But so I asked them, can you scan and can you look at Geek News Central's machine and go through that? And they did. They went through that with a fine tooth comb. I said, oh, good. You know, it's clean. How come this machine was clean and the other one? Well, I pay attention to the machine the website's on. But, you know, we're moving everything anyway. So it just made for a good time to reorganize. So we're going to do it. You may see some of my sites making some transitions, maybe offline for a little bit as we move from one server to the other. But that other server, I said, just go ahead and cancel the doggone thing. It's, you know, it's 6 years old. And we'll just order another one and get a newer box. But, you know, I'm a geek. This is not supposed to happen to me. So what we're going to do on Saturday Morning Tech, we're going to talk about some good practices to use in securing servers online and some stuff like that. That'll be a good topic for Saturday. So I just wanted to share with you, and I think you guys would get a, you know, I used to have one of the listeners who is a longtime Linux user, kind of taking care of the machines, and things got to the point where it was just kind of running on autopilot and nothing needed to be done. And I guess I should have probably had Russ in there. Russ, if you're listening, you're probably laughing. But yeah, it was a bad situation. All right, let's get through the rest of the stuff. Hey, if you're attending a conference, be our eyes and ears. We want you to basically be our stringers on the ground. Email me if you're going to a show, and we'll see about having you as our stringer. Also, I'm going to be going out to Albuquerque, New Mexico on the week of August 22nd. I'll be out there. I've gotten word back from our vendor, and it looks like our plank owner program is progressing. So I'll have some more details on that here soon when we get ready to launch that. So that's really all I've got for announcements for you today. I want to thank you for kind of just playing along here. And I did get a Twitter. One of the listeners, longtime listeners, had Twittered me and said, Ty, you spend 20 minutes on the last show talking about stuff. And we're at about 15, so probably we're going to go 20 today. But we'll give you a full hour's worth of good stuff here in just a few seconds. As you guys know, GoToMeeting has updated their software, and they've announced HD Faces. And, you know, I've been totally blown away by this, been using it a lot. Matter of fact, a buddy of mine called me, and he says, I've listened to your show for a long time. He said, it intrigued me. I said, I haven't tried GoToMeeting by Citrix yet. He said, I'm going to give it a run for the money. Which webcam should I have? I said, whatever you have on your desktop now, just use it with that. And he says, no, I want to try it with an HD cam. So he went out and got an HD cam. You don't have to do that, but you can if you want to. And he called me the next day, and he says, dude, what have I been doing? What have I been doing? I've been listening to your show. He says, what have I been doing not using this product? And he agreed with me. It's a great way to meet online with colleagues, and having the high definition video conferencing is now awesome. And again, it's called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You can collaborate with anyone around the world face to face. You guys know I'm using HD Faces on a daily basis. It's awesome. So here's how it works. HD Faces will make your online meetings even more personal, engaging, and effective, and it's easy to use. I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It will change the way you work. As a listener of this show, you get a free trial for 30 days by going to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button, okay? GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button. And then when you get into that page, all you're going to have to do is put your info in there and then click on use a promo code podcast at the bottom. And there's a little box there that says promo code. Enter that promo code so that we get credit for your trial. You want to thank GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central, and we want you to try HD Faces by GoToMeeting. All right, got a stack of stuff here for you. Let's go ahead and get into that. Let me go ahead and bounce up Chrome. Actually, I should close that. We don't need you. You can go away. You can get minimized. You can get closed. And we'll talk about Carbonite a little later in the show. Well, the folks over at Technologizer.com reminded me that the PC is 30 years old today. On August 12th, 1981, IBM announced its first PC. 81, I was definitely in high school at that time. Matter of fact, I was probably a sophomore. And, you know, at that time, it was big. My folks, a few years, I think a year later, bought one of the other, I think, who came out with another PC around that time. They bought their first one, spent a lot of money for it. And, but that was the first PC, 30 years of really that changed everything. And you think of what we can do today on our mobile devices, it probably has, you know, 10 times the power of that old, or even 100 times the power of that old IBM PC. And definitely more storage for sure. So the PC is 30 today. And happy birthday to the PC. Happy birthday to you. How many of you have downloaded or have played with Chill? Chill, I'm pretty impressed with some of the stuff that's coming out. Let's see if I can bring the website up for you. It's not. It's only, they're saying that they've gotten overloaded, so you're not going to be able to, you have to sign up for a demo right now. They're not letting everybody in. But Chill's a site where you can watch video together. And, what is that? That was weird. Was that from my phone? Did you guys hear that buzz? But they had a big opening day. And one of the things they were doing, and Chill integrates heavily with Facebook. And what they were doing was automatically posting to your Facebook account a message. It would say, "I got into Chill and it's awesome. Come chill and watch some movies with me at chill.com. And I guess they, instead of making it opt in, they already had you opted in and you had to opt out. And they had a box that you had to check in order to do that. So some people thought that was pretty lame. Mark Zuckerberg even commented on it, said it was pretty lame. The folks at Chill were happy about their launch, but at the same time, they basically said, "Hey, we're sorry, we screwed up." And they removed that feature right off the bat. But everything I've seen and read so far online about this is pretty impressive. They looks like they're off to a good start. So hopefully they get more servers online so they can support all of us that want to come over there and get a free trial. Now, in the UK, those of you in the UK, oh my goodness, I should have talked about this in the last show, but I'd been kind of disconnected from the news. I wasn't really watching what was going on in the world per se. I kind of watched what was going on with the banking fiasco, but that was about the breadth of it. And, you know, I kind of started looking what was going on and I was like, wow, this, all this stuff going on over there. And what really caught my attention today was the Prime Minister calling for social media sites to play a greater role in preventing future riots on British streets. And I thought about this for a little bit. You know, there is a fine line between freedom of press and freedom of speech and actually restricting people's utilization of services. Even if you, you know, don't get me wrong, I think what's going on over there is horrible. People's lives are at stake. Their businesses are being destroyed. There's fires. There's looting. Police are getting hurt. The whole nine yards. And I understand this, you know, this could happen anywhere. But at the same time, is it worth, you know, you think about, we really criticized Libya for shutting down the internet, right? And we had a big outcry saying, this is horrendous. They cut the people off from the internet. Well, when the Prime Minister of Britain starts saying that he wants to have these social media sites play a greater role in preventing future riots, you know, it's the politics has just flipped 180. And you got a political system there that I think we all can agree with is a great political system. You know, there's democratic rule. And same here in the United States. And it's, you know, the parliament stuff works a little different, of course. But in largely everyone there is elected. And so politics aside, it's again close to the cliff when an elected official starts talking about censoring or playing a role to identify people that are doing things that may be illegal. I guess the three companies, specifically Facebook, Twitter, and BlackBerry, specifically Research in Motion, have been summoned before the Home Secretary to discuss a mooted scheme to block conspiring rioters. And I'm looking at the responses. And the responses are kind of odd from these companies, we have to watch this and see how this turns out. Use your own police force. Get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. Watch what people are saying. Don't, you know, people can say what they want, whether it be good or bad, but use your own resources to go out there and identify who you need to identify. But other than that, anytime you're going to start censoring or restricting or specifically using tools on those sites from the company themselves to find these people that are supposedly inciting a riot, it's a little bit dangerous. And I'd love to hear your feedback on that. Email me here at the show. You can just Twitter me at Geek News or just email me at geeknews@gmail.com. You know, today or this week, Twitter had introduced the ability to upload pictures, right? And I don't know if it happened within the last couple of weeks, but whenever then, I haven't even used that feature yet. But the folks at TwitPic now are letting you do Twitter functions. So essentially what has happened here is TwitPic has said, well, if Twitter is going to infringe on our business model, and we're going to infringe on theirs. And so they've cloned Twitter over at TwitPic. I don't get it, but you know, I feel bad for these companies that have, you know, tried to build a business model on top of someone else's platform. And you can't blame Twitter for wanting to, you know, innovate themselves and make it more easy for people to use stuff straight on their site. So I guess the folks at TwitPic are not so pleased. So they launched their own Twitter cologne. And the folks over at Gizmodo are just bashing them about it. But hey, I understand. Hey, parents out there, do you have a business savvy entrepreneur as a adult at home? Do you have a 14, 15, 16 year old who is developing an iPhone app, or are they, you know, what are they? You got someone that's using technology in the house? If you do, and they're trying to make some money online and they're trying to get some, you know, seen in the space, don't do what a 15 year old did by berating the Gizmodo staff. I guess one of the writers over there made a 15-year-old app developer cry because of after the 15-year-old had bombarded them, begging them to review their review his app. They basically called it the worst app of the week or something like that, and basically crushed this kid's ego. And what's kind of funny is Gizmodo came in behind and wrote a big article about essentially what happened, and so the kid's now more famous for kind of doing his PR pitching the wrong way than actually making an app that rocked to the top of the charts. So I have this link up in the show notes. It's a good one for you to read. I shared it with my son, and he kind of laughed. And I said, you can be a little overzealous. I said the same thing goes for girls, too. You can be a little overzealous at times with girls. Hey, let's talk a little bit about a site called CrowdMug. I think they're close to being on to something. What is the deal with my microphone tonight? Something is out of whack here. I feel like I'm slouching or something. Going back to this, CrowdMug lets you pay strangers to be your social spies. I'm thinking this would be, when I first heard about it, I thought, wow, I could, this might be a way I could get people to be our stringers at different events. But this company's come up with a whole different idea for this. The premise is pretty simple. They offer cash for photos or videos of whatever place and people will answer from. And so let's say you're trying to decide which bar you want to go and you're in the mood for some live music. You can post a request for multiple videos and for multiple bars, offering a couple bucks for each video. And then if you look at the videos from those clubs and bars, you're going to be able to tell which one's got it going on, and that's the one you're going to go to. This is, takes massive scale in order for this to work. So we'll see how their thing progresses here. I think they need some work on their business model because it just needs such a huge scale. But it'd be good to have some sort of a app where you could do, hey, you're going to this event, you want to cover it, you know, basically that type of thing. So maybe I just gave away an idea for a good maybe what I would consider a good iPhone app. But and yes, our iPhone app is still in development. So I need to reach out to Tom and find out where he's at. He promised me a couple of weeks ago that it'd be ready in a couple of weeks. So we should be pretty close to being ready. Tom, are we ready? Drop me an email. Here's another a new app that is kind of weird. This is for those of you that live in Manhattan. Parking Auction launched earlier this week, and this is available for those of you that live in Manhattan's Upper West Side. The matchmaking service is beta testing, and basically what they're trying to do is if you're parked on the Upper West Side of Manhattan and you're getting ready to leave your parking spot and you want to sell your public parking spot to someone, you're going to go on this app and say, hey, I'm getting ready to leave. You want my parking spot? And apparently you just can't sell it, but you can trade the transaction to hold the spot for them or something like that. They're saying very clear that you're not selling it and you have to follow the city rules about getting out of the parking spot if you're planning on moving. You just can't hold it or whatever. But they're actually, people are buying public parking spots for as much as $5 or $6. Wow. I'm glad I don't live in a city where I have to pay to find a free parking spot. There's a definite issue of too many cars when that's the case. But that's what the app is. I've only kept to it in the show notes of any of you that live in Upper West. Hey, Jeff, I know that you may need this. So, Jeff, you go ahead and go grab this thing, all right? Now, you know, when the government's complaining about the amount of money that they're spending and how they're trying to save stuff, they don't seem to make very good decisions when it comes to procurement of different types of software and so forth. Apparently, there's a GAO report out talking about how the Defense Department has basically spent $1.2 billion. Excuse me, the State Department spent $1.2 billion of taxpayers' money on a fancy computer system called iPost. And it basically was designed to monitor everything. Well, they monitor everything it is if it just has the name Windows in front of it. The iPost service only covers computers that use Microsoft Windows, not other assets such as large as roughly 5,000 routers and switches, along with the state's network of non-Windows operating system, firewalls, mainframe, databases, intrusion detection devices. So the GAO said this thing is really just a piece of crap, and the U.S. government spent $1.2 billion on a system that just monitors Windows machines within the network. Who was on the statement of work on that one? Definitely not anyone of any IT savviness. No, we're not worried about the Unix machines. We're not worried about the routers. We're not worried about firewalls. We're not worried about monitoring any of that stuff. We're just going to monitor the Windows machines. It's bureaucracy at its best. I'm sure if they really looked at everything, we could probably right here on this show within a matter of hours, if we could go through, we could probably save the government $1 trillion just in waste incompetence. It's really amazing. It really, really is. I saw an article today. It's called, If You Can Read This, You're Breaking the Law. And it's basically an article over on TechDirt. And while it's kind of this mundane article, nothing too fancy, it made me giggle because I've been getting email. I have an email address that I have on Gmail that I snagged in the early of days of the Gmail rush. And it's essentially my last name at gmail.com. And so I've got that. I've got the kids one. You know, I've got a number of Gmail accounts I've held off the side that as they get older, I hand them over to them. But this one we've used specifically for some family communications and stuff. And I don't normally talk about it publicly. You guys won't be in the show notes or anything. But I keep getting email, doctor's appointment requests, lab reports. I keep getting, what else do I get? Oh, class notices. I'm getting all kinds of emails from someone that thinks that their email address is this account. So what I've started doing is it happens so much now that I have a little notepad on my computer that when I open it up, it says, to the sender of this, please tell whoever you're trying to reach at such and such address that this is not their address. And if I was a really bad guy, I could really know a lot of interesting things about this person. Please tell them to tell you their correct email address and stop sending me email on this one. You would be amazed at the responses I got. Today, I got a response from a doctor. The doctor says, this isn't so-and-so. And I've said, no, please tell her that this is not her account. And I don't know why she keeps using. I said, I'm getting all kinds of email on a daily basis from her. I said, this, she must tell people this is her address. And she said, can you delete the message, please? I'm like, yeah, it's already gone. It's already deleted. And she said, wow, scary. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. So I'm finding out little by little all about this individual. So if you're listening, if you are that person, please, please tell your friends, don't use the email address. Or if you want to write a really big check, I'll sell you the address. Oh, I just, it's funny. But the Techter article essentially referred to, he got somebody's lawyer's email. And it says this email, including attachments subject to attorney-client privileges and contains confidential information intended only for the person to whom the email is addressed. Well, they just sent it to the wrong person. That's who they sent it to. So pretty amazing what we're starting to see in our inboxes. Are you getting any strange stuff like that? Are you getting other people's email? Love to hear from you if you are. And email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Our call or voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Now, this is a very encouraging article. It's over on MSNBC.com. And it's actually part of the, it's on the MSN dot, it's MSNBC.MSN.com. And let me bring this up in the link here. New leukemia treatment exceeds wildest expectations. Now, this is going to blow you guys away. It really is. A single shot could be one of the biggest advances in cancer research in decades, scientists say, but the research almost didn't happen. Now, I don't normally get into too deep on this kind of stuff, but when I read this, I am really kind of appalled. Doctors have treated only 3 leukemia patients, so leukemia patients that were almost at death's edge. But the sensational results from a single shot has changed all 3 of these people's lives. In a research published Wednesday, doctors at the University of Pennsylvania say the treatment made the most common type of leukemia completely disappear in 2 of the patients and reduced it by 70% in a third. In each of the patients, as much as 5 pounds of cancerous tissue completely melted away in a few weeks, and a year later, it is still gone. He says the results of the preliminary test exceeded our wildest expectations, said immunologist Dr. Carl June, a member of the Abramson's Cancer Center research team. Now, this is going to really just, I was like, whoa. What they've done here, in the Penn experiment, the researchers removed certain types of white blood cells that the body used to fight disease from the patients. Now, hold on to your hats. Using a modified, harmless version of HIV, yes, HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, they inserted a series of genes into the white blood cells. These were designed to make the cells target and kill the cancer cells. After growing a large batch of the genetically engineered white blood cells, the doctors injected them back into the patients. So this is, fighting fire with fire, right? Now, here's the thing that my mouth dropped open. And here's the question. Why has this only been tried on 3 patients? Leukemia is killing thousands of people every year. Both the National Cancer Institute and several pharmaceutical companies declined to pay for the research. The researchers did manage to get a grant from Alliance for Cancer Gene Therapy, a charity founded by Barbara and Edward Netter after the daughter who died of cancer. The money was enough to finance the trials on the first 3 patients. Now they're expecting, now that they've had these good results, to get more money. So here's the question. Cancer is big, big business in this country. And it's a moneymaker. You know, companies sustain their financial well-being on people getting sick. And here we've got some guys or some doctors that went out and were a little bit innovative and have been able to create a new treatment using a very radical, I would say, very radical, basically test scheme And yet it's going to take people like these guys who are willing to think out of the box and go hardcore on this stuff to save people. And maybe we're going to start finding some cures for different types of cancers out there. As devastating as HIV has been, and in the thousands and probably millions of people that the HIV virus and AIDS has killed, it would be a very small, or could end up being a big, if they could turn that horrible virus that has killed so many into something that will save tens of thousands of people that have different types of leukemia and stuff, you know, it would be a small, it's hard to weigh it, but it's a small victory for something that's so horrible. And I don't know if that's even the right way to say that, but pretty cool that they've been able to do this. We'll see where this goes. They did have a disclaimer here. It's important to emphasize there's still been only 3 patients. Over the past century, many attempts to harness body's immune system to fight cancer have shown initial success and subsequent failure. So we'll see what happens here. But, these patients were, they say, pretty close to being within, they feel within a week, they would have been dead. So it's good. And they're using our natural with a little modification to do this. This has gotten huge traffic over at MSNBC. So I have a link in the show notes, of course. Along with that, thin electronic patches on skin could monitor hearts comfortably. There's a new little, it's pretty cool. This looks pretty awesome. You know, stuff is getting smaller and smaller. And, you know, of course, when I went in for my sleep study, what's going on here? Paste, why are you blinking? All right, let's try to minimize that and expand it. And we'll do this then. That's odd. That's not a sign of something nasty going to happen. What's going on? I was hitting the paste button and it was blinking at me. But these thin electronic patches on skin could monitor hearts comfortably. And basically without those big stick-em pads on them. So that's kind of cool. And these will be making their way into the market here soon. Hey, I want to talk to you guys. You guys know that I did a sleep study for sleep apnea. And next Wednesday night, they're having me go back to the sleep center and they're going to have me sleep on the machine. I did have a number of incidents. That's how they called them. And they gave me a specific number. I'm not going to share that with you on the air on what it is, but they're going to have me go back and sleep on the sleep apnea device and figure out what my setting should be. But as my wife has known for a while, the geek here at Geek News Central is scaring her. So we're going to take the matter into the doctor's hands and get treatment underway. But I know many of you have emailed me offline and asked privately not to share your stories with you. But I wanted to again emphasize to any of you that have a spouse or significant other that is cautioning you that you are basically stop breathing in the middle of the night when you're sleeping and going for any amount of period without taking a breath, you need to see your doctor. Okay. And I probably should have went a while ago and not treating or not addressing the issue can have very bad consequences and end in very bad things happening to you over your lifetime. So if you're even being warned that you're stopping breathing while you're sleeping because of your snoring, go see your doctor right away, please. And if nothing else, you know, follow my lead here and do it. I'm, you know, publicly, I like to have no problem talking about this with you guys, but they told me the number of incidents I was having per hour. My eyeballs got about this big around, and my wife said, "Oh yeah, I knew what it would. You know, I knew." So it was higher than I expected to be. Let's be honest. And as I get through it, well, I'll share with you what my sleep apnea machine settings are. Now, for those of you that are out there that are breathing on one, you'll probably have as wide eyeballs as I did. has moved back to the tech. Ford is working on car-to-car wireless mesh network. This is kind of cool. This is on the drawing board. But basically, what they're doing is Ford's, and this has not been implemented at all. It's not in any car. It still has a science project. And essentially what it is basically they're going to have the cars talking to one another as you're driving down the road. And if you're traveling in the same direction, there's going to be like a telemetry to kind of know that you're all going in the same direction. And if a car, five cars ahead of you, starts to brake hard, your car's going to be warned and there can be some reaction. And if there's a car a mile up the road that says there's bad traffic and they can alert the system and your on-car navigation to make you go somewhere else, along with crash avoidance, along with the car autopilots that are coming from, you know, from Google and whoever else is doing stuff. This is exciting stuff. And, you know, I think what we'll see probably within the next 4 or 5 years, as these technologies come to play, we're going to start having cars be real smart. At the same time, there's probably going to be some sort of reporting mechanism in there. So it's going to make us all, force us all to be much safer drivers, because if you become aggressive, the computer is going to know it and probably warn the rest of the network, and someone will get sued for that someday. But they're saying that this could definitely cause a reduce in congestion and accidents. And this is some very cool stuff here. And internet access could be provided. There's all kinds of stuff that could be. Kids in the back could stream a Netflix movie. You know, if you've all got to mesh together and using, you know, it's very cool. If there's wireless and they connect you all up, I'm sure not going to be without challenges. But how do you get all the manufacturers to get on board to share the technology? And, well, I guess everyone just needs to buy a Ford at some point. And we'd love to have Ford on here as a sponsor if you're listening, Ford. But it could be Toyota or someone else that could come up with this first. But we hope that all these car manufacturers are going to be able to make this happen. And this was an article that was over at Connected Planet, connectplanetonline.com. Let's talk a little bit here about Sony and Google TV. Oh, by the way, my Google TV that was acting funny didn't recover, and talked with Logitech. I got one traded out, so I should have a new Google TV box tomorrow. They honored the warranty on it, so the one's going back, and a new one's coming out, and I wish I could have got just a refund, because I paid for it when it's full price. They didn't have much of a problem sending me a new unit, but Sony is taking Logitech's cue and reducing the price of its HDTV-powered Google TV. So basically, you're going to save as much as $440 if you purchase one of the Sony versions. Essentially, what they've done here is they've reduced the price across the board in a big way. Folks can now purchase a 24-inch model for $295, the 32-inch for $498, the 40-inch for $723, and the 46-inch for $961, which is originally $1,399. Excuse me, at Amazon with free shipping. And I found this over at ehomeupgrade.com, but it was originally reported at streamingmediaboy.com. So I want to give credit where credit's due on that. So if you're thinking about making that jump, feel free to go over to Amazon and definitely pick up the Sony version if you want. Hey, you know, Carbonite's a sponsor here. Carbonite today had Carbonite had their public offering. And boy, can you imagine having your, can you imagine launching your company in the middle of the roller coaster stock market? They launched today. They had their IPO. They raised $62.5 million. And we want to thank Carbonite for spending some of their money with this show and sponsoring it. And of course, you guys know that I've now been a Carbonite user for close to a month. And I'm feeling pretty confident about this program. I was actually looking at everything that it was backing up and where I could add stuff. And you know, it went through and I didn't see the little green dot on some files. I said, that should be backed up. I did a right click on it and added it to the Carbonite backup. It's real easy to use. It's intuitive. There's some stuff I said, oh, that doesn't need to be backed up. That's not needed. And I deselected it as well. But it just automatically protects your pictures and your other computer files, automatically backing them up whenever you're online. And when you have that disaster that's going to happen, just like me, right here is the drive. Here's the drive that went down on me and basically had my dad's pictures on it for 2 years. When he had died, and I had to get those pictures back, and I spent big money. If I had a solution like Carbonite then, the $59 price of the program would have been just nothing. And that's what you really have to think about. Imagine right now you're listening to this show, and you look down at your device, and the screen goes black. Now, that's happened to me, especially on a laptop. I mean, just boom, that quick, the screen goes black, no warning, and the drive's gone. It's done. There is no recovering it. What are you going to do? Is your stuff backed up? Is it not? Are you going to have a meltdown right now? Are you going to freak out? Believe me, I did. So with Carbonite, you can access your backed up files privately from any computer on your smartphone or iPad free of charge. You get unlimited backups for your PC or Mac with anytime, anywhere access. It's $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month for just, it's uploaded. I don't have to worry about it. And for that critical stuff, and if you can't afford more than one PC to be on Carbonite, just copy the other thing into the one machine and it'll go up, all right? Now that you have to remember to do that, or they'll give you a discount if you do multiple machines. So start your 15-day free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card is required. I want you to go over there, okay? Go do this. Get this 15-day free trial. Use the offer code TPN and you'll get 2 months free if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com. An offer code for 2 free months is TPN. Yes, Tech Podcast Network, Tango Papa November. Go over there and get your free trial of Carbonite. We thank Carbonite for being a sponsor here at the show. Okay, let's go ahead and bounce to the next article. I've got a lot to get through yet. Amazon dodges iPad rules with a web-based Kindle reader. Good for them. Basically, they basically said nah to the Apple and their rules. So the latest HTML5 capability is awesome. I was playing with it. You can't even tell you're on a web page. It's that good. So good on Amazon for keeping all their profits in their own bank account. On the other hand, Apple's going nah to everyone else because they have surpassed Exxon to become the most valuable United States firm. And so basically they have a market cap of 337 billion dollars. Boy, they have come a long way, haven't they? Hey, USB 3.0, we keep waiting for them to come out on machines. As you know, when I was in Fry's last week, I was looking at USB at the machines. I was saying, does this have USB 3? No. And I'm like, why would I buy a computer without? But apparently the next USB 3.0 specification is going to be probably up to 100 watts of power to power devices. So if I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 USB 3 plugs, that means I can have up to 100 watts each or across them. But basically this is kind of cool because it's going to allow you to power some of the more demanding gadgets on your desk without adding additional power supplies. So the USB 3.0 Promoter Group announced that the standard would allow USB 3.0 ports to power and charge devices like notebook PCs, and it would remain backwards compatible with US 2.0 devices. So pretty cool stuff. And I got a bunch of USB 3.0 devices here and no machines with native USB 3.0. If you're a Google Plus user, oh man, games came to Google Plus today, but they did something right. Those of you on Facebook sending me game invitations, stop. On Google Plus, I don't have to worry because they've got it segregated in its own little game corner, and none of that stuff makes it into the stream, and you're not going to get invites and come play this stupid game on, you know, you want to play games, you can go play games. If you want to notify someone that you're playing a game, it's not going to let you. Woohoo! So, anyway, Thank goodness. You're not going to send me invites. And I hope, I haven't seen it yet, so I hope it's not a bunch of stupid stuff in someone's streams either. As soon as I see it, gone. Unfollow. Let's talk about the power of the hidden cost, the hidden cost of home entertainment. The power consumption of internet video players, Apple TV. When it's idle, it consumes 1.5 watts of power. When it's streaming, it consumes 1.6. The Boxy Box, listen to this, when it's idle, 14.5 watts. When it's streaming, 12.4. How come it uses more when it's sitting still? Logitech, 12.3 when it's idle, 12.8 when it's streaming. Roku 2 XS, 2.1 watts when it's idle, 2.5 watts when it's streaming. WD TV, which I know a number of you have, 6 watts idle, 6.9 watts when it's active. And it's off for standby. They all use a lot, very little power, except for Boxy Box. It's for some reason still it's drawing power. So is a Roku 2 XS. So have that stuff on a switch. All right. When you're not using it, turn the stupid things off. Have it on a, you know, on a green switch so that they automatically, when the draw goes down, it just shuts the thing off. But boy, these things are sucking up a lot of power just sitting there. If you're on LinkedIn, make sure you go in there and manage your profile. They've got a thing now where they can opt you into using your face on an advertisement. Go ahead, LinkedIn. Go ahead and do that. I don't mind you putting my face on an advertisement. The folks in Indonesia have gotten smart. They've started to work with their ISPs and the music industry in Indonesia to say, hey, if you want us to block peer-to-peer sites, you need to lower your prices on your music. And so even though I'm really not in favor of governmental forced blocking of peer-to-peer sites, it's starting to happen. But at least Indonesia went out to their music companies there and said, hey, let's lower the price on stuff to make it affordable for people to be actually able to buy your music instead of having to hack it. Good luck. So we'll see. Hey, if you're New Zealand, your three strike has begun. And be aware, the new three strike thing is in effect. And if you get your notices, you boom, 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 you could be off the internet for life. But some people are retaliating. They're basically using peer-to-peer networks on government computers, hoping to get the government banned from the internet as well. So I thought that was kind of a comical development in New Zealand. UK anti-piracy police has, U.S. anti-piracy police is really, you know, a lot of that has been kept secret on what they've done. But, you know, last month, the NPAA, RIAA have made a deal with the ISPs to essentially start reporting on us. But everyone was trying to figure out who the company was that would be tracking for people that were basically infringing. And it's been announced that the company that, or through private investigations, determined that DTechNet is the company that's going to be tracking unauthorized file sharing under this new copyright alert system. So beware out there that this is going into effect and these ISPs are going to be installing this DTechNet software on their systems to basically report you as an infringer. Okay, be careful out there. Apple is apparently considering adding mini projectors to its iOS devices. They did a patent submission. Basically, you're going to have, a lot of these devices do this now, but they want to make it so you can shine your presentations up on the wall with your laptop. It's going to be in your mouse and your laptop. I can see that moving your mouse around or some sort of a device, I guess, or the iPad out of the front of it, iPhone, some adapter of some sort. But anyway, I don't know. I would never do that. I think it's kind of dumb. GigaOm has a great infographic, Netflix by the numbers. Let me put this up on the screen for you to check out. Oh, let's take the Carbonite ad down. They got their money's worth. I don't want to see your ad. But basically, they broke Netflix out versus Comcast. Netflix currently has more subscribers than Comcast by a couple million. Netflix had revenue of $2.16 billion in 2010 and $770 million in quarter two. They have Netflix accounts for 61% of all the digital movie watching in the United States. Here's the thing that kind of blew me away. PlayStation 3 accounted for 30.57% of Netflix plays. Xbox 24.9%. PC was 19.55%. and then followed by a whole bunch of other devices. Over 450 devices now can be utilized to watch Netflix. Don't know where the Roku falls in, but boy, I tell you, the golden the place to be is in the PlayStation and the Xbox. Boy, if we could ever break into there and get our podcast content into those devices without, you know, having our own channel, that would be awesome. Because you can tell that's where most people are using the apps and so forth. Those of you that are here, let me ask you a question. Those of you that are watching Netflix over PlayStation or the Xbox, what else are you doing with your Xbox besides gaming or your PlayStation? Love to hear from you on that. All right, drop me a line, okay, here at Geek News, geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what else you're using your PlayStation for and your Xbox for beyond gaming and Netflix. I'd like to kind of get a feel. Would you listen to the show via our app if we were on those devices? Would you watch? Love to hear your feedback. Hey, Vudu has avoided the Apple tax as well with their own iPad mobile site. Well, you know, Vudu's kind of been an interesting. They've been a little bit odd. You know, we spent a lot of money developing a Vudu app. We actually have a Vudu app ready to go, but Vudu changed their business model from the time between the time we started and the time we finished. They didn't tell us either. So we said, hey, here's our Vudu app. And so we decided not to launch any more apps. Sorry. So I got this Vudu app that we spent developer dollars on that we never were able to launch. So Vudu is basically now, not only are they in most Walmart TVs, there are some devices out there. They're now on the iPad. So you can watch movies and so forth and rent movies through Vudu. And I guess people are using it. But they went the route, the same as Amazon did. They went the HTML5 route. And basically, you're basically on a web page when you're on their website in the with the iPad for the night. Same thing is with another TV app. Boy, these are things are springing up all over the place. Yap.tv, Yap.tv, has released their latest version of its social TV app, which is designed to help users discover new TV shows, interact with others tuning into the same programming. So he's really not streaming the TV show. It's basically if you're going to watch The Bachelorette or Man vs. Wild or NCIS, most of these things I don't even get to see anymore because we cut the cord. You're going to be able to chat with other people, I guess, while you're watching and do Twitter posts and do polls and some other stuff. The last thing I want to do when I'm watching TV is be typing and interacting on the same thing. I want to do something else. TV is not that compelling half the time. It really, really isn't. A lot of junk on there. Well, Disney, if you have been watching Disney stuff online, well, Disney's going to put shows behind a paywall. And the only way you're going to get access to it is if you are already getting the Disney Channel through your cable provider. So that's how they're tying this together. See, that's what they're doing now. Their play. That's their control play. They don't want to allow everyone just to watch the Disney content on television because they can't charge the type of advertising dollars that they rob vendors for currently on the TV space as they do on the online space. They've figured out they can't make as much money online as they do by robbing the advertisers in their on television sets. And of course, no metrics and no measurement and no, you know, whatever they say, they don't really know how many people react in their ads. But long story short, in order to get access to this Disney content, you're going to have a TV Everywhere type authentication. You have to authenticate with your cable company that you're paying them their exorbitant fee to get the Disney Channel so that you can watch it online. That's why we need a la carte. Well, the economy's in trouble still. People are worried about it. They're cutting expenses, and the peer-to-peer usage is way up. The worse the economy has got, the more people are doing peer-to-peer stuff. And they're saying 21.6% of residential internet traffic in North America is peer-to-peer BitTorrent traffic. That's a lot of people downloading a lot of content that they're going to be tracked for and then warned and have their service cut. Remember Zebda? Zediva? They shut down their DVD streaming service. You know that they basically tried to kind of circumvent the rules on rentals. Well, they got shut down. And they basically pulled the plug. We're suspending Zedeva's operations to comply with an order by the United States District Court of Central District of California. We hope to be back online soon. We don't know when or when that will happen. We're disappointed by the turns of events and that we're not permitted to serve you. So they said, we are quite aware some of you have unused credits with us and appreciate your patience as we figure out next sec. In other words, your money's gone. All right, I want to show you some photos here. And those of you that are not watching and those of you that are listening, you're going to need to come over to Geek News Central and you're going to have to look at this article on social media propaganda. This is one of the first times that as soon as I saw something, I went and spent $85 on these things. Aaron Wood is selling some very thought-provoking social media propaganda posters through Etsy. These things are just, and I can't say it any better than what Andrew did. They're brilliant on so many levels. So here's the first one, Raise the Banners. And it shows like these banners hanging, Share the Victory, Google. And these are supposed to mimic like war posters. Victory is tweet. And it shows an eagle with the sun behind it. Victory, like it on Facebook with a thumbs up. Then it's got this big thing where it's got sunshine, Facebook, join the cause. Your friends' farms need you. So this is, I think there was 8 or 9 posters, and we've only got a couple of them up on the website. But I think you'll agree with me. When you get over to Etsy and see these things, they're $7.50 each. They're awesome. They are really awesome. And what we're going to do, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to give some of these away. I bought mine for me. Okay. I got mine, but they're so relatively inexpensive and they're so cool. And I think we're still going to be able to get them. Let me look if they're, boy, I don't know. They're going pretty, we'll have to see. I'm sure he's going to be able to refresh these. But we will give some of these away on show 700. And they're just fun posters. $7, $7.50 each, couple bucks for shipping. And I think if you go over to Etsy, you're probably, some of you are not going to want to wait. Some of you are going to get some. But as soon as I get in here, I'll start showing them to you on the show. We'll get them some frames and have fun with them. But they're just brilliant. I think they're really cool. And nice colors and, you know, kind of this, you know, this war, you know, this poster type of, you know, here's a funny one. It's a whale one. As long as you tweet, we can't fail. Just brilliant stuff. It really is a lot of fun. So anyway, great article by Andrew. Huge. This thing's off the tweet chart for Geek News Central. And we've gotten all kinds of traffic on this. So Aaron, you know, I just sold you like 1,000 copies of these things, okay? So send me some love, baby. Send me some. We'll give them away. We'll give you some more promotion at on show 700. And if anybody has anything they want to give away in show 700, email me, all right? We got something that, some gadget you haven't used or you want to get rid of or something that's in working order, we'll give stuff away in show 700. Along with that, Alan wrote a good article at GNC as well about Yahoo and their image search. And, you know, one of the challenges that we have at GNC is finding images that are not copyright infringed. But, you know, there's some pretty cool images over there. Some of these I'd love to use on the website, but we can't because, you know, basically the copyright, you know, getting images is expensive. It really, really is. But some good image test, give image searches at images.yahoo.com. And did I have that up long enough? Yeah, I don't think I had it flipped up there. But anyway, I have that link up for you in the show notes. All right, last couple of articles here, and then we'll get into the emails. FTC is focusing on Android placement in Google search results. That's what kind of what they're looking at. They're trying to see how Google's own products rank when people do specific searches for Android and for search and other different types of mail and that type of stuff. So we'll see what FTC comes up with that. For those of you that have Android 2.2 devices, Google Video app now working on all devices. That's a pretty big statement, all devices. So Google Video app, again, working on all devices and Android 2.2 and up. Pretty cool picture from the folks at NASA. And let me, oops, you guys are still seeing the Yahoo page. Let me load this here for you. And it's basically two space shuttles, nose to nose. And I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Let me go ahead and blow this thing up. Oh, of course, they're trying to sell me an ad here. And the Control Plus is the code I use to get the browser bigger. It's kind of a nice image. Hopefully, they got something on the ground. We'll see that at some point. Hey, NASA. NASA's rover at Crater's Edge. Boy, they take a great picture. The rover's come a long way, but they're ready to start exploring the rim of the crater. And I don't have the image up that I found earlier today, but it's a beautiful picture, one that makes you think you're in Arizona or something like that. Hey, the folks at NASA today, especially, no, not NASA, DARPA, has lost their second hypersonic plane. This is a Mach 20 movable aircraft. Didn't do so well on whatever reentry plan they were doing because it's crashed. So Air Force strike two on that particular one and more taxpayer dollars down the toilet. For those of you in the UK, Facebook usage has hit a new low in 3 years. So then it's on the decline. Not as many people are Facebooking. I wonder if they're Google Plusing. What am I trying to say? All right, last article of the night. T-Mobile to start charging overages on low-end data plan. Well, customers will incur charges up to 10 cents per megabyte when they exceed 200 megabytes of data, $10 for 100 megs up to a maximum monthly payment of 40 bucks with both Dow and Classic plans for data including 200 megs. Add-on fee T-Mobile says a statement the company is typically charges between 5 and 10 bucks for its basic plans, which includes just 200 megs of monthly data usage. So 10 cents a meg, be careful out there using T-Mobile. More and more evil stuff coming out of them because of they're getting ready to be purchased by AT&T. All right, here's a couple of comments from people that talking about the show. I got an email here from Larry. He says, I'm probably in the minority, but I prefer the shorter show length. Larry, thanks, Larry, for your feedback. I got an email from Dan. He said, from Seth. He said, hey, glad to support your choice to have shows up to an hour and 20 minutes. I agree with your point when you said that you are feeling rushed. As I felt as if you were rushed and feel it showed near the end of most of your shows lately. I support you having your shows up to a full hour and 30 minutes on occasion. Seth from Michigan. I'll try to keep it to an hour and 20. That seems to be like kind of the sweet spot, even though tonight we'll probably finish at about an hour 16. Got an email from Sam. He said, hey, Todd, the show is much better when you're not rushing. You make fewer mistakes and the pace is more enjoyable. And I don't mind if you go an extra 10 or 15 minutes. I listen to all my podcasts at 2x. How does that? I don't think I could do that. Because it's not only is it rushed already. I'm glad it rose your boat, Sam. I really do. He says, keep doing what you're doing. It's been working for nearly 7 years. So looking forward to the Albuquerque meetup. Sam Garcia. Ohana in Albuquerque. I'm looking forward to a Frontier burrito. That's the first place I'm going, Sam, with green chili sauce. With chili relleno's. Oh my God. That is the best burrito in Albuquerque. Those of you that have had one, you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay. Got an email here from Dan. He said, hey, Todd, I've had posts on Facebook about missing the last four shows because iTunes has not updated them since show number 690. But then noticed you had posted on Facebook since July 2nd. I guess since you got on Google Plus, which I don't have access to, you no longer post to Facebook. I do once in a while. It may be that it's because I'm subscribed to the video feed and not the audio feed. I don't know. Maybe that you don't update the video like you do audio because when you're on the road, there may not be video, but there's also no update to the Chrome show in iTunes either. That's correct. It's been 2 weeks since we did a Chrome show. Anyway, I've always listened to your shows in MP3 format when I was working, but I'm disabled now and watch your shows in video format. I just wanted to let you know. Thank you for all the great shows in the past, and I hope to get you back on a regular basis soon, because all the podcasts I subscribe to is in video format, which plays basically all day via Apple TV on my LCD TV, a podcast channel if you will like. But I, like I said, as of late, there has not been no GNC to the Chrome show. Don't get me wrong, I have many podcasts subscribed to that fills my show schedule, but I am sure to miss the geek. Thanks, Todd, Dan. Hey, Dan, the roadshow stuff is an issue. And believe me, I thought I had it all in the bag the last go-round, and obviously it wasn't. So that is a work in progress. I'm trying to improve that whole motif of how that's working. But usually the show comes out about 6 hours, 6 to 9, depends on how fast I get it encoded and start the upload process. 6 to 9 hours after audio comes out, the video will follow. If you're subscribed to the iTunes feed, what you should do, is go into iTunes and make sure, just check it. It should update as soon as the RSS feed, as long as you're subscribed. iTunes itself doesn't have to update. It should be there. Now, like I said, there was two video shows missing, but you should have gotten both this week. So we're hope we've got you back on track. I have a Chrome show for you on Sunday, and also we're going to have a Saturday morning tech for you Saturday night. So, or just watch live. Come watch us live. That's the best part during those daytime shows. And I'll just watch my Twitter feed for the time and place. But usually, of course, Saturday morning tech starts at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Okay, folks, that wraps it for the day. Oh, wait a minute. Got one more. Frank says, make the show long as you want. I agree with you that the introductory chats are an important part of it. They give the show a neighborly feel, which I find a big part of its charm. Tech news sites are dime a dozen. I'm confident the one reason yours is successful is the neighborliness. And I agree, Keith. I think, Frank, it's the way it is. I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay. Tim, this is a regular email on the show, says, This is amazing considering the thought of where Apple was 10 to 15 years ago, talking about how basically Apple's turned into the most valuable U.S. company. Thanks for that, Tim. We had definitely a link on that in the show earlier. Everyone, thanks for being here with me. Thanks for hanging out. It's been fun. And again, follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Geeknews@gmail.com, of course, is the email address, voicemail hotline, which gets not as much use as it used to. 619-342-7365. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook. Friend us over there, facebook.com/geeknews. As soon as Google Plus gets their business accounts over there, we'll be over there as well. But thanks to GoDaddy. Thanks to GoToMeeting. Thanks to Carbonite. We thank all of you that support the sponsors. It's greatly appreciated. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. And without you, this show would not be possible. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us. And hope you had fun with the show tonight. And I know I enjoy doing it for you. But until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you then. And aloha.